All right. Turn to Romans. This is a personal Bible study from Miss Carrie. I was going to email her, but it's harder to drive and text that much all at once. So I thought, I'll answer her live. She asked a really, really good question. And it is very important to answer. So I want you to take a piece of paper and a pencil and your Bible pen and make it all, because you're going to want this. It's on eternal security of the believer. Okay. And I'm going to do it with the understanding that we're going to believe the words in this Bible means what it says, where it says it.
Amen.
It does not, I can tell you, there is not eternal security all the way through the Bible. There's only a very small section of this Bible that has eternal security. And there's a specific reason why. And so, I did this yesterday, which I thought you were watching. It was her. Roman kept going, I think she's watching. I think she's watching. And I get here and I'm like, I hope I can do it. I really worked hard at that. I want you to know. It was like, I put everything in it that I had. Somebody got done and said, preacher. I had to pull for this true story. He said, preacher, you preached today. I thought I was doing that all along, but obviously, you know.
That's too bad.
Anyway, so whatever that's all worth. Just not too bad. I would have called you, but you know what happened to your number?
I have a cell phone at home.
Well, I was going to see this morning if you wanted to lose. You do your blood before service, I won't be able to do it after. But you know what happened? You've got to give me your number where I key it in.
Because well, I called you, just say it.
I had it, but by the time I got to the herb house, I had 20 calls.
Okay.
At the end of 20 calls, you roll off the list. All right, turn to Romans chapter 6.
How you doing?
Now, when is Gina coming?
She's coming Friday, so she'll be here next.
She'll be here Sunday.
I'm sorry.
All right, Miss Carrie.
I told you to do
this. What?
She might actually be on the
phone. Is she?
She might be on the web. Yeah.
Listen, well, she won't get her Bible. I'm going to give it away. Is that okay?
Can I suggest her to give it to you?
What?
No, she's going to get one.
Yeah, I didn't give her one yet. I've got to make another order. Right in my car and in the back seat. I don't know why I locked it. It's probably not locked. I don't have anything to steal. In the back seat, there's a Bible for Miss Gary. We got to get her a whole Bible. Hers had holes in the last Bible.
Yeah.
I want her to frame it and keep it. I do. I love that she loves it. Just frame it. It'll be in a picture frame. All right, in Romans chapter 6, let's go ahead and get started. Verse 23. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. What is mistaken in most religious systems is they think it's sins that is death. That's not what it said. The wages of sin is death. This one is a verb. This is a noun. Very important.
Wow.
What was that?
That's
his TV. Oh. All right. Let me read it again. For the wages of sin is death. Why is the wages of sin death?
Because sin brings death.
Sin brings death. Have you ever wondered why? Look at 1 Corinthians 15 for a minute. You ever wonder why a little infant dies? It's because of sin. Mm-hmm. That little baby did not go out and smoke and play cards. You never were going to go to hell for your sins. You were going to go to hell for your sin. Very big difference. And people in the religious system think, well, if I don't smoke and I don't cheat, that I'll go to heaven. That's what they think. And the reason why is they think it's something they control. But look again at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22. For in Adam, all what? Why? Because of sin. You see the problem? In Adam, all died. How many people do you know that your grandmother and grandfather and great-grandfather and great-great-grandfather have all died? Why did they die? Because they went out and smoked and played cards and danced? No, they died because what they were in Adam. Adam was the problem. We were born onto Adam. Go back to Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin, and you need to really underline that word sin there. That's a noun. That's what you are in Adam. You were made in sin. You were born in sin. Why do babies die? Sin. You know, what causes death, what brings about death has always been the same effect. What is it?
Sin.
You got it? That's it. A baby does not go to hell for smoking. Or cussing. Although, I bet you the way some of these parents handle them, they probably started cussing a lot sooner than we think.
Do babies go to hell?
Huh?
Do babies go to hell?
No. Well, I mean death, actually. You know, thank you. No. Actually, they don't. But they die. Did I say that?
Yes.
Really? Well, some of them should, I guess.
Redefinition.
Yeah. No, the wages of sin is death. The reason those babies die is why? Sin. And people get really confused. I went to an infant born 21 days, lived, and then died. And the mother was sitting there grasping me and said, why would God take my child? And I said, God didn't take your child. Your child died for a very specific reason. She said, why did that child die? And I said, it was born in Adam. Now, some people die at 9 years old. Have you ever seen that? And some die at 13. Some die at 21. And some die at 55. And some live until 105 and die. But the same effect is on all of them. But then the next verse is just as true. Part of the verse is true. See that word but? You ought to start underlining the word but when they come up in your Bible. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what?
Eternal life.
If I gave... Andy, I've never given you a gift, have I?
Oh, yes, right here.
Yeah, but let me give you this one. This is a gift.
It's just
the one. I knew he was going to die. You know, I mean,
I got one. Fine, I'll take it.
No, I just.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, he's interested in this game. Yeah.
I believe you now.
Play the blues, brother. I'll drop it and cry. This is a gift. I don't owe you anything, do I? You haven't done any work for me or anything, right? This gift represents eternal life. If I give you this gift, what have you now got?
Eternal life.
What God gave is eternal life. Now, just in its principle, if you could lose eternal life, and that was the gift that God gave you, and you could lose eternal life, did God give you eternal life?
No.
You see? The gift that God gave is eternal life. It's a gift. No, it's yours. Keep it. No, keep it. I don't take back the dollars. Take back 50s might even beat you up for it.
Place keeper in my mind.
I bet my wife, if she's watching, said, yeah. Yes, he still got his dollar. right. So what did God give you as a gift?
Eternal life.
Eternal life. So people say, I don't believe in this eternal life stuff. I believe you can lose it. God gave you a gift, and if it has no end and no beginning, which is eternal life, how could you lose it? That's the greatest gift in the world. People say, well, I don't understand that. Well, I'm going to show you how it works. But if you don't understand anything else, if it's eternal life and it comes to an end, then God's lied. God did not say, I gave you eternal life if you could keep it. It didn't say that. Look what he said.
Right.
He said, but the gift of God is what? Is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He did not say, it's eternal life if you do certain things. I'm going to give it to you. Why, if you started working for your salvation, you'd already be in trouble. Look in Romans chapter 4. Now, you guys are challenging me a little bit because I preached this Sunday. And because Miss Gary listened in, I'm trying a whole new set of verses.
No, I have my card.
Can I borrow it? Because I didn't bring mine. Romans chapter 4, y'all there? Now look.
Verse 11.
Romans 4. Look, if you will, in verse 3. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for what? Did he do anything to gain righteousness?
He
believed something, didn't he? That's how you gain righteousness, by belief. Now watch, verse 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. If you say, okay, I'm doing this, and God's going to owe it to me at the end, it is not grace, boys and girls. It's works.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say, oh, I'm saved by grace, and claim by the passage that if you're working for it, you're going to get it. Because he said, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Look at verse 5. But to him that worketh, you know, all those kids back in the 90s kept going, not! You know, I love you. Not! You know how that worked? You know that kind of thing? Well, look what he says. But to him that worketh, not! But believeth on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for what?
Righteousness.
Ah, that's what we need. That is what you need, is righteousness. What is counted for your righteousness?
Faith.
Well, I'm just telling you, that's interesting, isn't it? Now, God's gift, I started with the gift at the very beginning, and I'm going to put the gift over here in the corner. And I know you're thinking, what an outstanding artist. And you're totally impressed with my gift. See that? I did the ribbon myself. And that gift contains some things. One thing it contains is what?
Eternal life.
The other one is what? We just read it. Righteousness. That gift has everything you need to be right before God. That's the need. Now, the problem with everybody that normally studies the Bible is they think it's... Hey, Sandra, you sucked in later. Everybody in the Bible, listen to me, thinks the Bible is one gospel. And as long as you think that way, you're going to start getting confused. Until you learn to rightly divide. Now, go to 2 Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. 2 Timothy, chapter 2. Verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the what?
Word of truth.
Word of truth. So we've got to figure that out. How do we do that? Well, go to 1 Corinthians 15. And now you're going to want your Bible pen out, for sure. Go to... Keep flipping right past them. Go to 1 Corinthians 15 and Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Now we're just going to believe our Bible, amen?
Amen.
We're not going to let it say anything. We're just going to become Bible-believing saints of Almighty God. Say, what are you? Well, I'm a Bible-believing saint of Almighty God. I ain't got anything for you to join. I don't want anything from you. I just believe the Bible. Just believe it. The more you believe this, the more true and the more exciting this book will become for you. I just promise you that. In Acts chapter 2, Peter is preaching. I want you to look at the verb usage. The verb usage means everything. And Miss Carrie, one of the reasons you need to remember all those things I showed you in your Bible, I meant to bring you a pamphlet, and if you'll call me or send me a note, I will bring it next time, is a list of over 250 quick notes that you can see the difference between those two Bibles, and they're unbelievable. It's also on my website. You can look up on my website and find it, and it's worth looking up. Because of the terminology and verb usage means exactly what it says, it becomes very, very important. Look in verse 47, Acts 2, 47. Everybody there?
Yep.
Nope. Praising God and having favor with... all the people. Who's the people? It's Israel. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
Should
be. Is there?
No.
Should be? How do you know? You got to get to the end to know, right? That's what they've been telling us.
Oh.
I mean, should be saved? But that's not the terminology your Apostle Paul uses. Look in 1 Corinthians 15. Look in verse 1. You want to write a comparison, you'll want to write right by Acts 2:47, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved. Eternal security.
Mm-hmm.
Are saved. Not should be. Not questioning. Not maybe. Not when. You are saved. Do you see that soon? Is that exciting? You got your Bible pen? I would underline that.
It is.
Oh. Wow. Wow. Not only is she cute, she's brilliant too. Good work, Norman. I mean, some of us are lucky to get a good looking one. But when they're intelligent too, you have hit a home run, baby. Amen?
So they will say,
Yeah, just agree with me.
They're always glad to get that.
Pretty and intelligent.
Yeah, pretty, yeah.
You don't want them pretty intelligent. I'm kidding. You all see the difference? Should be and are. Should be has no eternal security. Are saved. If you are saved, what are you worried about? You've already been what?
Saved.
You want to be saved?
No.
Maybe saved?
No.
You are saved. You're already in home base. All right, a little hallelujah right there would have been nice. But if I got to beg for it, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't force yourself. All right? So what's the difference between the two programs? Well, you got to remember that if I put this up here like this, and I put the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John here, and we put the book of Acts here, Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 9, the saving of the Apostle Paul, and then his 13 books, Romans through Philemon. Is that okay right there?
Mm-hmm.
And then Hebrews through Revelation. Now the difference has to do with a word called, I'm spelling it out in phonetic, because that's going to make more sense in just a minute. It's at, I'm sorry, at one, atonement.
At one moment.
At one moment. Atonement. Very important. That word. What? You're scaring me to death. You guys are so much fun to be around. Okay. Now, I know what we need. Scotch tape.
Duct tape.
Duct tape. Duct tape.
It will go there.
Good luck with that.
Alright.
Can you see?
Oh, hang on. Alright, I got it. Okay. All the excitement is over for 5 minutes. You know, hanging around me is like hanging around a lipstick of dynamite. It can get pretty exciting at times. Y'all see the difference between are saved and should be.
Amen.
The reason is the word atonement. That's the key. It's not have to do anything else but with atonement. Now, we know that the gospel Paul got. Look at this. Are you trying to signal to your wife? Why don't you just say her name and disturb the class that way? Okay. Did you get her?
Okay.
It's good, sister. I'm with you. Thank you. I think I will. And they wonder why they call me Black Evangel. I don't get it. Not one thing. I do not understand it at one point at all. I tell you what, my tomato plants are growing. That black guy knew what he was doing. And I told him, I said, you are the tomato evangelist, brother. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Yes, I was stunned there for a minute, forgot which way to turn. But I'm back on my shoes again. Galatians chapter 1. Y'all there? Now, this is important because we're talking atonement. Because once you got the atonement, guess what you have? You got eternal life. You got to get to the atonement. Now, I'm going to show you the dealing with it. Miss Terry, I'm doing okay so far? I know you may not agree with all this. I know it might be a challenge. But listen, we've all been there, amen?
Amen.
You ain't nothing new. But what you got to do is believe the Word of God. Yes?
No, I was just...
You've been there. Oh, okay, very good. Galatians chapter 1. Everybody's got to get there because, listen, this Bible isn't going to change tomorrow. It isn't going to change 6 months from now unless you pick up a different version of the Bible. In which it can change all the time. Galatians chapter 1. Don't cheat looking at page numbers.
I did.
Oh, okay.
I've just seen one book with you.
I'm teasing. Galatians chapter 1. Welcome to the class. Andy's finally broken in, you see. A visitor only gets it so long and then they start getting treated like family. Verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, when was that?
On the road to
Damascus, Acts chapter 9. How do we know that? In Acts chapter 8, he was making havoc. When it could have been before Acts chapter 8, amen?
Mm-hmm.
It may be 13 or further over this way, But it ain't backwards. So 9 is the very first time that the Lord appears on Paul, and he said he got the gospel that we believe then. So did they teach it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Yes or no?
No.
Norman? Yes or no? Kurt? We're all, everybody's okay with that?
Yes.
They could not have taught it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
That's right.
Because he said, I didn't get it from man, neither was I taught it, but by direct revelation of Jesus Christ. The timeline points it right there. That's as soon as it could happen. Mm-hmm. Okay, everybody with me?
Yep.
Now remember the gift over here and the word what?
Atonement.
One minute. Go to Romans 16. In Romans 16, verse 25. Romans 16, 25. Now to him that has the power to establish you according to my gospel. Whose gospel? Paul's gospel. You might want to put that on the side. Paul's gospel. And by the way, he says it my gospel 3 times. Can anyone tell me?
Romans
2:16.
Galatians 1:12. And
2 Timothy 2:8. 2 Timothy 2:8.
And here.
So write those in. If you're not going to remember them, write them in. Galatians, Romans chapter 2, verse 16, and 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. That's where they're in here. That's where he says, my gospel. Now to him that has the power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. So whatever Paul got right here had been kept secret how long?
Since the world began.
If we believe our Bible, did he teach it in Genesis to Malachi?
Nope.
No.
The answer would have to be what?
No.
No. If that means what it says. Did they teach it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John?
No.
And if Paul got it here, and this is where it was being revealed, and it had been kept secret from here to here, did Peter teach it in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, or 7?
No.
And the answer is no. All right, so now we've got a gospel set up. Remember, we're looking for the word atonement because we're talking about eternal security. And the gift that he gives you is what?
Eternal life.
Once you got eternal life, how long is it?
Forever.
If you lost it, it wasn't what? It wasn't eternal life. Now watch this. Very important. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse you guys know. This is not unfamiliar territory here. Verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a
mystery,
even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, the what?
Mystery.
The mystery, they would not have crucified. So whatever Paul got, this message, this my gospel, he calls it, if they'd have known it back here, Satan would have never what?
Crucified him.
So the gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John can't be the same gospel that we teach through the Apostle Paul. Amen?
Amen.
Everything I just said is bonkers in the Bible. Doesn't mean what it says. Mm-hmm. Either or. You don't have a choice. Either the Bible's bonkers and God lied, or it meant what it says and we've got it nailed down pretty good. It's not going to change. Now remember, the atonement is the key. Mm-hmm. I want to take you all the way back. This has been true, listen to me boys and girls, all the way back to Genesis has been exactly the same and will be the same. All right.
Hey, Carlson, can you fix that?
All we need is duct tape. God is looking for one thing. He is not looking for 30 things. Now think about this, Virginia. I don't want to miss any steps because it's really important. Go to Romans chapter 2. People that every Sabbath day, they read the law out. Every Sabbath day, not one of them could keep it. Listen to me. They read it. Beverly, you're not listening.
Not one of them could keep it. Now listen to me.
She was listening. Not one person could keep it. Mm-hmm. Now you've got to think of people saying, well, I've trusted the Lord, now I'm going to keep it. But the ones that heard it every Sabbath day, heard the law every Sabbath day, not one single one of them kept it. Well, what do you think about that? Not one! It wasn't like one of them came by and said, well, now I'm saved, I'm going to really live it for the Lord. Not one of them did. Every single one of them when the law was given. But you know what's even funnier about all this? Is how we think we can be good after we're saved. Now, I don't know about you, but I've told it. Bitty lie, the doctor says, how much you weigh? I said, about 134. I know that's close. He said, when was the last time you stepped on the scale? I said, back when I was 14. Everybody that was under the law couldn't do it. Listen to me. Norm, Lisa, Rhoda. They, you listen to me. Not one of your parents have ever done it. They're all no good. The law was never entered so God would shine down upon you and say, oh, okay, you catch my breath away. You are the shining example of all that righteousness should be. Oh, Dave, I mean, God's just looking at Dave and going, wow! And this is what I would say, no, 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 no. God looks at Dave and says, oh, my. Like, oh, my. Romans 3, this is what happened. Verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How many could make it on their good works?
None.
Not one. Norm, how many?
None.
Beverly?
Zero.
Bob? None. None. The idea is, how many? None. Oh, I need a new translation for that word. Weneth? No. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none good. How do I know that? Look at what he said. Verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? The Gentiles? We Jews? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jew and Gentile that they are all under what?
Sin.
They couldn't live it. What is the idea that you can live it? Listen, if it was up to you living it, you wouldn't make it. Because what Israel needed was what?
Atonement. What God is looking for all the way through the Bible is blood.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. The blood. So we start in Genesis chapter 4. Hang on just a second. Just hang tight to you. Genesis chapter 4. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just going to say that I'm always been taught, and I want to make sure you cover the atonement for the Jew, like you're saying, was a covering for their sin.
No, it goes even deeper than that for them.
Reconciliation is different.
No, it's going to mean the same thing when you see this tonight.
Think so?
I hope so.
Because then
I will.
Why would their salvation be future?
Well, I'm going to show you. That's. I'm going to prove that point. That's good. I'll know whether I failed or succeeded. It's very important, guys. Listen to me. There's two sons in Genesis chapter 4. There's Cain and Abel. And I'm going to start in verse 1, but I really want to get 4 and 5 of the verses that I'm trying to get to. And Adam knew his wife, Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. And she said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bared his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now, I want you to understand that Cain, in this Bible, you need to put this in, represents all religion.
Mm.
Cain is the religious man. Cain is religion. Okay? Cain equals religion. That's what it is. Abel is a saint. Now, God had a place where they could come before Him and fellowship with Him based upon a blood sacrifice. And if you brought the blood, you could have atonement for 1 year. And so they started offering blood sacrifices. And those blood sacrifices represented them dying. When a plant dies, it will bring forth more plants. It does it on its own. When an animal dies, it's dead. He could not use plants to show atonement. He had to show a permanent death in the shedding of blood. Y'all understand? That blood was everything. That's what God required. And so, verse 3, in the process of time it came to pass, that Cain brought of the fruit of the field, the ground, an offering unto the Lord. Now, let me tell you, Cain was a worker. You're talking about a Christian that really worked. He was out there plowing and holding that plow steady and moving those rocks out of the thing and sweating up a storm and working hard in the field. And old Abel was sitting there going, and then Cain's over there said, I'm going to really work for the Lord. I'm working hard for Jesus. And he's out there doing all this work and putting in fertilizer. And he gets to the point and he offers up the sacrifice. You ever heard the expression, you can't squeeze blood out of blood? You can't get it out of your coverings, and you can't get it out of your good works, and there ain't no blood coming out that way. You need blood. You got it? You all understand? You can't squeeze blood out of a turnip. Guess what old Cain was offering up to God? But you know what God required? He's looking for the blood. He's looking for the blood. Where's the blood?
Was he proud
to ask for a sheep? Well, Abel would have given him one for sure. You know that. And Abel, verse 4, he also brought of the firstling of the flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain, now Cain did a lot more work. Well, I know a lot of men out there are doing a lot of work out there. Amen? I mean, they are tearing it up. I'm telling you they are. They're tearing it up. But God didn't require that. God required that blood. That's what God's required the whole time. It's never changed. And the problem with the Gentiles is they couldn't get to that. They wouldn't have been allowed near that temple. When God finally separated Abram out, they had to go find the Jew, and blessing was the only hope they had. They couldn't offer a blood sacrifice. Only the Jews had that option. Now that's fascinating to me. Isn't that weird? Right at the very beginning of your Bible. One guy working his tail off. I mean, he is flat out. I mean, he is not. And he's doing it for the Lord. Don't doubt it. He's doing it for the Lord in his mind. The problem is that's not what the Lord required. That was the problem the whole time. It wasn't that he didn't do it out of sincerity. He did it out of sincerity. But you know the problem with sincerity? You can be sincerely wrong.
Wow.
You got it? You got it?
Once you learned about that, they were not called Christians.
No, they weren't. But I mean, you know, I mean, it's the same deal. God's looking for the blood. And the blood, when you finally get dipped in the blood, you have the atonement. Once you got the atonement, you're at home base. You're at home base. You've been through the blood. You know what God sees when He looks down at me?
Blood.
The blood. There's two people. There's a Christian, and then there's a lost person. And they have some commonalities. What do they have in common?
No good.
They're both no good. Someone said they were sinners. Their heart is what?
Deceitful.
Evil, deceitful, desperately wicked. They have commonalities. What is different?
One
has the blood over them, and one does not. This one may go to church every Sunday. This one may go to church every two Sundays. Go fishing on one. This one over here doesn't cuss at all. Never cusses. They say words like heck. That was a sneaker that means hell. These people didn't quite get it over there. This person cusses right on out. Instead of saying dumb, this one says dumb because he thinks he's spiritual. This one says poopy. They're just alike. Except this one has the blood. That's the only difference. The atonement. Now, you know what's weird? Go to Exodus. I don't know if I can find this. I didn't look it up. I was going to look it up. Where they painted the doorposts. I think it's 11. I'm not sure.
Twelve seven.
Yes. Exodus 11 what? There is no 13. Yeah, you meant 12:13. Verse 7. Talking about the land. I'm going to start in verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out of the sheep and from the goats, and you shall keep it up until 14th day of the same month. And on the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat. Now, you know what? That death angel came over and he flew over And you know which houses he couldn't hit? There were people that were good, some that danced, some that didn't dance, some that smoked, some didn't. You know what that angel was looking for?
Blood.
He was looking for the blood. He passed over the house looking for the blood on that doorpost. If he saw the blood, he passed over the house. What God is looking for is the blood. That's what God's looking for. Don't make any mistake. God is looking down on you right now, and He can look down on you and see whether there's blood there or there's no blood. He knows whether you're trusting your good works or whether you're trusting the blood of Christ. He knows. He's looking down and He hears what you're saying out your mouth, what you're trusting in. He's already read your heart. God's looking for the blood. He's always been looking for the blood. Now for the atonement. Go to Romans. Aren't you glad you have me as your Bible teacher and your guide through the sticky and unfamiliar world of eternal security? Now watch this. This is a biggie. Did I tell you Romans?
Yes.
Ah, that sounds good. Turn there. Romans chapter 5. Now, Romans chapter 5, I want you to start with me in verse 6. Read the word very, very carefully. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the what?
Ungodly.
Well, if you were a godly person, did Christ die for you?
No.
And you know, he told the Pharisees. Pharisees said, why are you sitting with all these wine bibbers and stuff? He said, those that are sick need a physician, but you which are whole don't. Listen, if you think you're good or your good works are great, you don't need Jesus Christ. Just keep doing what you're doing. You're going to impress God so much, just like Cain did, and you're going to walk across the line and the finish line and say, look at me, God. And God says, where's the blood? You got it? Christ did not die for godly people. He said He only died for the what?
Ungodly.
I had some men tell me one time in this class that they were godly. You know what I am? I'm an ungodly, filthy, rotten liar, cheater, stealer. I'm pretty much done it all. How many here has told a lie?
Mm-hmm.
How many here has stole something? Oh, yeah. Yeah, like, that was the only thing you did, brother. How many's gone by a house and said, ooh, I like that house?
Oh, my goodness.
That's covetousness.
Yeah.
You know? We're sinners. But I got some good news. Even though you're in sin, you're born in Adam, there's a way you can get out and be saved. That you can be are saved.
Forever.
Forever.
Hallelujah.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, praise the Lord. One hallelujah. That was not real impressive. But thank you, Chapin. You know, he's one. He's a little charismatic. Leave him alone. He's a drummer, brother. He's my drummer. That's all that matters to me.
It's better all the time.
Verse 6 again. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the what? Ungodly. That's hard to swallow. He didn't die for good people. You don't need it. Just keep doing it. You'll make it, maybe. Oh, no, no, if none of Israel made it for 1,500 years, but maybe you'll be the exception. Wouldn't want to bank on that odd.
Mm-hmm.
And they're coming around the third bend. It's Little Pony. Little Pony's out in front. All Israel has fallen way behind, but Little Pony's out front. Little Pony's running hard, working hard. Uh-oh, Little Pony's starting to sway. I don't think Little Pony's going to make the last lap. Yes, all the congregation of Israel fell out for 1,500 years, but Little Pony's still running. You know what I mean? Well, I did that for Kentucky, thank you. Yeah, that was a little of the hand. I want one of those mint juleps. They look good. Then my sister says, I went to the Kentucky Derby. She said, I had one. She said, it's straight whiskey. Did y'all know that?
Must have been it.
No, it's straight whiskey. Have you ever had one?
Sugar and mint in it.
I did not know that. It looks so good with that mint leaf coming out. I'm thinking, I'd like to try one of those. She said, preacher, you wouldn't stand but a couple sips. Verse 7, for scarcely a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, what?
Christ died for us.
Boy, put 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, right there. And put Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. Ooh, that's some good stuff there. Colossians 2, verse 13. And 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Verse 9, now watch. Much more than being now justified by His blood. Oh, there we go. We got to have some of that stuff. Amen?
Amen.
Who wants the blood now?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we got to have that.
Absolutely.
We shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more they being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And here's the verse I want. Watch. And not only so, this is the verse, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom, we have now received the what?
Atonement.
We have received the atonement. The blood has been applied to us.
Which one is
that? Well, hang on, we're not done. I ain't done with Bob. I ain't done. You can read it out of your book. You can read it out of the King James Bible too, brother. I'll show you. All right, y'all with me?
Mm-hmm.
When did Jesus Christ shed His blood? On the cross. When He shed it, who did He shed it for? Everybody. He died for the world. He died for Israel's sins. He died for the people of the past. He died before people got to Israel. He died for them all. He died for everybody's sin. But we're the only people in the Bible who have now got our atonement, which allows us this theory to be eternally secure.
Now receive comfort.
You got it? You got it. You're not looking for it. You haven't gone anywhere. You got it? You got yours now. But look at Peter. He didn't believe that Israel had their thing. This is your point. Well, it isn't your point, but it'll correct the incorrect point that you were making to make it correct again.
When they were sacrificing animals.
Well, no, it worked the same way, except only year by year. That's what Hebrew says. But they were always looking for that ultimate sacrifice of the Son of God. Where did I tell you?
Here.
Yes, Acts chapter 3. Thank you very much. All I needed was the name. Miss Carrie? Oh. Girl. See, listening on Sundays do matter. Man, I really did really put it out last Sunday. I mean, I did it all for Miss Carrie because I love her. And I thought, I'm going to give it everything I got. I wound up my clock and, buddy, I went after it. Wait till you see the replays. I even mentioned you read it. Kind of the thing. She's world famous. honestly, I think she asked a phenomenal question, because her question didn't say just about eternal security. But what happens if we go and join Wicca or something after we're saved? And I'm going to get to that point at the end.
Join what?
Wicca, which has to do with Satan worship and all that. And the answer is, you probably wouldn't do that. But if you did, and would it be possible? I'll show you an instance that it could be possible.
Peter?
Oh, thank you, yes. I didn't find that funny at all. Verse 19. Acts 3. Verse 19. See, you can't throw me off. I'm like, you know, I just need directions every now and then. Gosh, I am more like an actor than I thought. Just direct me. I can probably get it.
Oh, no.
Acts 3, verse 19, I think.
No. All right. I can't believe it.
No. Is your Samaritan speech?
Verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins are blotted out.
Maybe. When?
Now that's not eternal security. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
But hang on, look at yours. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Hold on to here. We're going to turn right back. You don't have to be hunting it again. Oh, this stuff is so good.
Oh, I love it.
Awesome.
Maybe don't get any. It doesn't get much better than this. Monday night, sitting in Miss Carrie's house. The summer heat trampling down the ripples of sweat on my chest, preaching the Word of God, and it's like awesome. Huh?
That, I was showing that picture to you,
Verse 13. Now watch this. And you being dead in your sin, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath been quickened together with him, having forgiven you what? Colossians 2, verse 13. Are y'all there?
Oh, yeah.
Hang on. We're not there. Look at that. You got it? And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you how many trespasses?
Oh.
Are your sins gone?
Amen.
They're gone. Why? You have now received
atonement.
But Peter didn't believe these people received it here. Look at what Peter believed. Go back to verse 19. No eternal security here. You're right. If you're living under Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you can't make it into eternal security. Something once saved, always saved. It's hang on and endure, and I'll show you what you have to do. And just ask the question, are you doing what they were required to do? Repent, verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. When? When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Well, I know when that is. That's the second coming. Right here. And you know what's going to happen on that day of the second coming? Huh?
We're out of here.
No. We've been out since the rapture. There's going to be a fountain open. You've heard the song. Deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Well, your fountain's already flowed at Calvary's Cross, but Israel's is in Zechariah. And if you can't find Zechariah, you haven't been studying your Bible much. Go to Matthew and back up two books. Malachi, Zechariah. Malachi, Zechariah, 13, verse 1. In Zechariah 13. Now these people do not have eternal security. You got it? They could have it one day and lose it the next. You know why? They haven't got to the blood. The blood was shed for them. Right? The blood was shed for them, right?
Yep.
But they haven't got to it yet. I mean, hold on before we read Zechariah. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse First Peter chapter 1. Verse 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, for your vain conversation received by traditions of your father, but by the precious blood of Christ. Did they know Christ died and shed His blood?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but look when they thought they were going to get the atonement. Go to Zechariah 13. Now listen to me. You can be Cain all you want, but God is looking for one element that you need. There wasn't one single person under the law, under the commandments of God, not one of them that ever kept it. The man that God said that had his own heart, David, was an adulterer and a murderer. What was it that he knew? He knew that all he could trust in was that blood. He knew it wasn't anything he ever did. So religion has come along, and the Cainite people have put a spell on people, thinking that they can do it by good works. But there's never been a work that ever, ever justified a man. It's always been the blood. Look in... In Zechariah 13, verse 1. In that day, well, let's clarify what day we're talking about. That's it right there. It's the second coming. For sin and for uncleanness. They are going to finally get washed in the blood of the Lamb, and when that fountain is opened. And they will have their day of what? That's why it's called the Feast of Atonement. That's weird. Feast of Atonement. That's weird, isn't it?
How's that going to work out?
Well, it wouldn't work out well for you. You'd be gone in just a minute. But let me show you what they have to do in order to get to that Feast of Atonement. And listen, it's just like what God required of Abel or anyone else when He lays out the rules. This is what God is going to require. If I don't like those rules, I'm going to change them just a little bit. Doesn't get to go that way. Doesn't go that way. To get to that blood, Israel has to do some work. Now, we're saved by
grace.
Now, let me show you about grace before I show you work.
Yeah.
Go to Romans chapter 11. Now, this stuff should not be complicated. Let me ask at this point. Anyone in the room confused? Anybody? Miss Carrie, speak up. I need to know. I don't have ESP. Sue? Up to this point, everybody got it clear? God's looking for what? The blood. That's what He's looking for. That's what He always was looking for. To get to that blood, Jesus told some men to do some things. Matthew? Oh, Romans. Where did I say? Oh, verse 6, yes. Before I read what I was doing in Matthew. Now, listen to the words very carefully. And if by grace, are you saved by grace?
Mm-hmm.
And if by grace, then it is no more of what?
Works.
So your works have nothing to do with it. Why? If it's grace, you've got the gift.
Mm-hmm.
The gift has atonement.
Mm-hmm.
It has redemption. It has salvation. It has righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
It has completeness. It has everything you need is this gift. Once you got the gift, are you going to go around saying, well, I'm going to work for it now?
Mm-hmm.
No, because you know your works are valuable Is that a word?
Valueless.
That's what I said. Is that a word?
There it is.
Huh?
They're worthless.
Thank you. They're worthless. You got it? They're worthless. Why? Because God's looking for the what?
Blood.
He's looking for the blood. You've already got the blood. So I'm just going to work on your feet. He's not even seeing you. He's seeing the work of His Son at Calvary's cross. And He's pleased with that. The difference between religion and Cain and Abel, I planted a garden. I'm not sinning. I'm doing this. I'm wearing that. Over here, this guy, he has a different vocabulary. He paid it all. He did all the work for me. He gave me a gift. He gave me life. He gave me eternity. He. This person, I planted the field. I watered it. I took care of it. I joined the church. I confessed my sins. I walked the out. This is all trusting in what?
Blood.
His blood. This guy's trusting himself. Now watch. Verse 6. And if by grace, then it is no more of
work.
Then at one time it must have been of work. You got. You couldn't say it's no more of if it had never been of works. And he says otherwise grace is no more grace. If you're adding grace and works together, then you're really diminishing grace. It isn't about the gift anymore. It's all about you. And he says, but if it be of works, then it is no more grace. You can't put works and grace together. Well, I've heard people say, well, I'm saved by grace, but I want to work to keep it. Doesn't work that way. He just said, if it's by works, then it's no more of grace. That's what the Bible said. You didn't have any. Nobody had any problem reading that. If it's by works, if anything you do gets you into heaven and it's by works, then it is no more grace. You can't have it both ways. But let's get to the works that Jesus required. You know what? I haven't found a single person doing any of these. They're a bunch of liars. Oh, they haven't done them all. Trust me. I'm just going to read a few. Matthew 19. Here's the works. Hey, listen. These aren't options. Hey, if you can do it, just do the best you can. You know, just try everything you can do and your best effort will be really good. No, 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 boys and girls. No, no, no. It's you either do it or you walk away lost. That's what Jesus, your Savior, said. Can I erase some of this? I hate to erase. Well, I'm coming over here. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is what religion has been teaching. Matthew 19, but not doing. Matthew 19, verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why call thou me good? There is none good. Well, we know that's true. Romans chapter 3, right?
Mm-hmm. Verse 10.
But if thou wilt enter into life, do what?
Eat the manna.
Number one, he told this man to do what? You know anybody who keeps the commandments?
No.
What did he just tell this man? If you want to enter into life over here, you had to do what?
Keep the commandments.
I know a lot of people that think they are, but we just proved that you all did not keep it, right? You guys were liars, cheaters. We already had you nailed down on that, right? See, but I haven't done that since I was saved. Okay. Liar. Went by a big house in Nashville the other day and I'm like, don't do it, Barry. Oh, I did it! Well, I've already done it now. Amen?
No.
Keep the commandments. I don't know anybody doing that. You know anybody keeping the Sabbath day and keeping it holy?
No.
I mean, they're for a 24-hour period, they're not doing diddly squat but worshiping the Lord.
Dude,
do you know anybody doing that?
No.
You know what? I'm amazed. Some of these Mennonites that think they're so good, they actually go shopping on Sunday. And I watched this little lady one Sunday do the dishes. I'm like, oh no. Leave them alone.
You're treading on nature's ground.
I looked over there and I said, oh my gosh, she's going to hell.
And we weren't used to pick up sticks and
make. Y'all, that's true.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, it isn't an option. Then he told the man, which? And he said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear a false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. Who's honored thy mother and father completely?
Not false witness.
You are in trouble right there. Now hang on. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, my neighbor bought a Harley Davidson and he did not buy me one. Now look what it said. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, I'm thinking about buying a brand new CL550 Mercedes. You know, I feel kind of guilty about spending $90,000 for a car. But you know what? I've decided that I look pretty sexy in it. But you know what I'm not going to do? I'm not buying my neighbor one. Yeah. Love thy neighbor as thyself. What does that mean? Anything you do for yourself, you ought to be willing to do for your neighbor. I don't know anybody that does that. We do it when it's convenient. Amen?
Uh-huh.
Now look what he says. The young man said, all these things have I kept from my youth up. Well, like I, yeah. Did he do them from his youth up?
Yeah.
No, oh, man, we got a debate. No, he didn't. He did.
I'd say he did.
How did he do it?
He
offered blood sacrifice when he broke them. Y'all understand? He did what was required in the law. If you break them, bring a blood sacrifice. You got it? Now, let me ask you that are ex-Mennonites or whatever. Did you ever take a blood sacrifice when you sinned? Or did the church just have you confess?
Confess.
Here's the point with confession. Confession doesn't take away sin. Let me show you the problem. Hebrews chapter 9.
Is it possible to get victory over sin?
No. Keep trying, though. I would love for you to try. But if you try, then you can't be trusting the Lord. Hebrews 9. He wasn't able to keep them. So, Bob, you're partially right. And the other one was partially right.
Verse 22.
He wasn't able to keep them, but God had a provision through blood. Blood was the answer. The blood. Remember, that's what we're talking about, eternal life. They didn't have eternal life because they could only offer blood year in and year out. They had to be there year in and year out. If you broke sin without that, you would have to offer blood sacrifice. Now, Hebrews chapter 9 says, verse 22, for almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Was everything purged with blood?
No.
Could you commit murder?
No.
There was no sacrifice for murder. There was no sacrifice for adultery. There was no sacrifice for uncleanness.
Or blasphemy.
Or a rebellious teenager. No sacrifice. Take them out and stone them. Instant judgment. Well, I will have to teach on that one time. Yes, I know. And there is a lot involved there. But we will go over that because that's important. But I can't talk over that now. But let's say you could offer a blood sacrifice for right now. Just forget that thought for a minute. It works the same way. Watch. For almost all things. It didn't say all things. Almost all things. That's one of the ways you know. That's starting to be the key. So that's terminology very important. Mm-hmm. But watch. And without the shedding of blood is no remission. Okay? So you can confess until hell freezes over. And what will that do for your sin level? Absolutely nothing. Now go ahead and confess it up. See if you're okay at the end of the day. I'll guarantee you, if you're confessing your sins, thinking you're getting rid of it, you're going to end up in hell.
Why were those sins unforgivable? What was so bad about them?
Well, there were numerous reasons. One, idolatry, you're worshiping other gods.
Mm-hmm.
And a murder because you've taken someone else's life, and he laid out a law in Genesis chapter 9 that if someone takes a human life, his life has to be taken.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's other things involved. But taking all that out for a minute, keep it simple. It wouldn't matter if you just had a little fitty-litty. You could not just stand in the church and say, "Church, I have sinned." That's what they do, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's bullarchy. You got bullarchy. That's not, without the shedding of blood, there's what?
No.
What, are you going to get them back up on the cross again and make them die?
He already shed.
How do you get them back up to do it? See, that's a problem. He shed his blood once. They told you the atonement. Where did they get theirs? Second coming. Go back to Matthew. I'm just telling you guys, this isn't a play game. This isn't a joke to me. This is, listen, it's playing for keeps. Matthew 19, y'all there? Verse 20, and the young man said, "Unto him all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" How many want to bet that he'd offered a blood sacrifice?
Mm-hmm.
I bet you $500 to your one. That's a pretty good trade. How much you want to bet, Miss Carrie? And you know what? It wouldn't matter if he'd confess. If he didn't offer that blood sacrifice, he'd be in trouble. Because
mm-hmm.
it's all about the blood.
Mm-hmm.
It never had to do with anything you do. But they've got to get to the blood. So in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, guess what Jesus is doing? He's telling them how to get to the blood. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus is telling the Jews how to get to that blood. Paul told the Gentiles how to get to that blood. How do you get to the blood in the Gentile church? All you got to do is believe that Jesus did it all for you and me. Totally paid the price is the key. Gracious and nice. That all you got to do is believe. And you have the blood given to you. It's a gift.
Amen.
Just receive it. Receive the gift. You know what? Listen, here's the most amazing thing. God knows every one of you looking down, whether you have the blood on top of you or you don't. Listen, there isn't a person in here. God's looking down and He's looking for the blood. And He knows whether it's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can fake it to me, you can come to class, you can take notes, you can do all that. You can become a rightly divided, you can learn all about the Bible. God didn't care about that either.
Mm-hmm.
God's looking for one thing. He's looking for the blood.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jesus is giving instruction to Israel to get to that blood. Look what else He says. Come on down. Verse 21. And Jesus said unto him, "Thou wilt be perfect. Go and sell." Go and sell? And he meant everything. You know how I know that? You want to get your Bible pen out. Acts chapter 2, verse 44 and 45. Write this down.
Which verse?
Huh? What?
Which verse was it?
21.
Acts 2, 44.
Yo, Acts, you went right by verse 21, where he says, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor. You want to write Acts chapter 2, verse 44 and 45. They literally did it.
Mm-hmm.
Said, well, we believe in a Pentecostal church. Well, they sold out everything. So if you believe that, you need to sell out in order to get into heaven. Or get to that blood. I don't even get to heaven. Jews were never going to heaven. Ever. They're looking for a kingdom. Promised to all the fathers. Go and sell that thou hast. Acts 2, 44 and 45, and Acts 4, verse 31 and 36. And another copy is Luke chapter 12, verse 33. Put those in there.
Luke 12?
33. And he said, come follow me. Now what do you mean, follow me? These people, you're talking about, go to Matthew 24. Here's something else he said. Verse 13. Huh? Did you have it? Brother, that's good. He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be what?
Saved.
Well, what ends if you don't endure? So he wants us to endure. So all of this is where the loss of eternal security, where people think I can lose my salvation. Could these people lose their salvation?
Yes.
Can you give me an example in the Bible?
Ananias and
Sapphira, Acts chapter 5. They dropped dead. They didn't make it to the blood. They dropped dead. Say, well, that doesn't happen today. You know why? We're not in that dispensation. Otherwise, you know how many in this room would be dropping dead? All of you. Okay, so far so good? Now I'm going to get it really tight. We're tightening it up. Everybody on board? All right, I'm going to squeeze it just a little harder. Go to Hebrews. Ooh, this is going to be hard. Oh, this is not going to be fun at all. I hate even mentioning this. I hate it. But if you take Romans through Philemon out, and you take this little part of grace out, this thing called my gospel, this is the way it would be. And so your churches have taught you from your little boys and girls, why, you have to walk the fine line. Because he that endureth the end, unto the end shall be what?
Saved.
What happens if you don't endure?
You're not saved.
Right! So little boys and little girls say their prayers at their kitchen tables. Because they want to be approved of God. And what their mom and daddy didn't understand is God never looked for that. God was looking for the blood. That's what God's looking for. Mom and Daddy told you to behave yourself. The devil was going to get you. Many of you got caught with the covering that if you took it off, you'd go to hell, didn't you?
I told myself I didn't, but I did.
I guarantee you, you believe it. You know why? Your mom and dad told you if you didn't do it. Did you believe that?
Yeah.
I mean, there are many. You know why? Because you're enduring. You're enduring. But hey, there is a new gospel in town given to the Apostle Paul of grace. And if it's by grace, then it's no more of works.
Thank God.
Works have been done. You have now received the atonement.
Amen.
You've got the blood. It's over you. Say, so when do I got to get it? Just believe.
Why would you not really want that?
No kidding.
But hang on, it's going to get better. Those people that we're talking about here, this is after Romans 3 filing. This is Hebrews. This is in the tribulation. Listen to this. Verse 4.
What chapter?
6. Hebrews 6, verse 4. Oh man, this is so important. Eternal security. You got it because we're in a different age. It's the age of grace. God had mercy on you and covered you in the blood. Amen. And so God looks down at me and He sees nothing about a stinky old fat preacher man that's a sinner. He sees the righteousness of His Son's blood. You see, that man can go. So how righteous is I? Am I? I am as righteous. Listen to me. I am. Listen to me very carefully. I am righteous and as righteous as God Almighty is.
Amen.
That was part of the gift. He gave me His righteousness. I'm not wearing my own righteousness. My righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. I'm wearing the righteousness of the King. I'm wearing His righteousness. And He's looking down upon me, and He's not seeing my righteousness, because you know what? I counted it but done. I ain't got anything that is so impressive to God that I could bring before God and say, God, take me in. But He gave me a gift, and it pleases Him so much that I received it. Just like Andy received that dollar from me. That was a thrill to give you that gift. Gave Kurt one. Kurt, you got your dollar. Did you spend it? you never got one.
It was Leonard.
Well, I know Shapley got one. And other people have gotten them. You just hang out. You might make a dollar. Best deal in a Bible class you could ever have. Went to a Bible class, got rich. Say, well, 100 pennies ain't really being rent, but if you save them a lot, they'll add up. Hebrews 6, verse 4. For it is impossible. What does that mean?
Impossible.
Can't be done. Say that.
Can't be done.
That's what it means. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and had tasted of the heavenly gift, they actually got the Holy Ghost and were made partakers of the what? Holy Ghost. And had tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them and get on a repentance. Now those are comma clauses. You know, like the black dog that was shaggy, you know, all those comma clauses. Well, you can take the first and the last and it still makes a sentence. So let me just read those two together, okay? For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened. It's impossible. Verse 6. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto what?
Repentance.
Once you accepted Christ and you had tasted of the heavenly gifts and you were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, if you fall away and you tell one little bitty lie after you're saved, it is impossible to renew you again unto what?
Repentance.
That is none eternal security.
Over.
But you know how many options you have? You only got one chance at it. You got it? You don't get up and confess every Sunday. You can't show me that one place in the Bible. You say 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9 would fall in line with this. Your 1 John 1:9 would bring you into salvation. But you, if you sinned after that, look what he says in Hebrews 10. Watch this. If you sin one single time, has anybody here, from the time they hit Christ, believed on Christ, sinned?
Yeah.
All right? You cannot be saved. Look in Hebrews 10, verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for what?
Sin.
Katie barred the door. You can't get in. Once you have tasted of the heavenly gifts and have full knowledge of it, if you sin willfully. Well, what sin do you not do willfully?
They don't.
You know what willful sin is? It says, thou shalt not bear false witness. If you do it, that's willful. If you didn't know about it, say, well, I'm dumb. I didn't know about lying. I'm done. Okay, well, you know now. And they go out and lie again. Guess what? That's sinning willfully. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. There is no eternal security there. Those people that had tasted the heavenly gifts lose it. Boom, and they're gone. Say, well, show me an example of that. I will. Look at Ananias and Sapphira. Look in Acts chapter 5. They couldn't be saved. They can't get to the fountain. You know what you got to do? Endure onto that place where you get the fountain, because that's where the blood is shed. And once you've received the atonement, guess what? You're safe. You're at home base. Well, guys, I got good news. I've already got the atonement. I don't know if you do. But if you do, you're at home base. If you don't, you can try all you want. I'm going to show you what Paul says about it in just a minute, in just a second. But look in Acts chapter 5. They were told to do what? Sell out, right? I told you that in Matthew 19. Right?
Yes.
Told it in Luke chapter 12, verse 33. In Acts chapter 2, they did it. In Acts chapter 4, they did it. We're in Acts chapter 5. These people literally sold their house. But they kept back a little bit of the money. And kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought the certain part and laid it down the apostles' feet. They were supposed to lay it all at the apostles' feet. And Peter and Ananias said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land? Just, it's an itty bitty lie. They gave most of it. They just kept back part, just a little part. While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and what?
He died.
Man, I'd like someone to get up and confess in a church and say, you know, I lied. And all of a sudden their knees get weak and they drop dead. People go, whew. Reminds me of that kid, you know, that this kid had a problem with this man had a problem with his kids. So he went to the preacher and he said, preacher, every time I sit at the dinner table, my kids cuss. He said, look, if they cuss at the dinner table, you just knock them, haul off and knock them off the chair. So the first kid said, Dad, I like some of them damn peas. Father knocked and hauled them off, hit them right off the chair. And he noticed that other kid wasn't eating. He said, what's wrong with you, Sam? He said, I don't know, but I don't want any of them damn people. You know why? Hebrews chapter 10. If you sin willfully, there remaineth no more what? You can't get to the blood, so you might as well end it now. And guess what happened to his lovely little wife? Came in, just everything beautiful, had her covering on. Guess what happened? Boom. And they never made it to the Day of Atonement where they could get the gift. That's a fact. So there is not eternal security all the way through the Bible, but there is eternal security in Paul's epistles. Because you have now received the what? The blood. Look in Galatians chapter 5. What a fact. I don't even know what that meant. I don't know. It sounded pretty relaxing to me.
It was very relaxing.
Now remember, it said in Hebrew, in Romans 11, and if by grace, then it is no more of what?
Works,
right? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. That was clear, amen? So go to Galatians chapter 5 and look, if you will. I'm going to just read down from verse 1. Do you mind?
Verse 4.
Yeah, I'm going to get to verse 4, verse we want, but let's just read down to it. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Guess what that is? That's the law. Don't get tied up in that. Before I read any further, look what Paul felt about the people that tried to keep the law after they got saved. Look at verse 20, Galatians 4:20. I desire to be present with you and change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. He's doubting your salvation. Why? Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? It's condemning. That's almost unbelievable, isn't it? Go back to Galatians chapter 5, verse 2. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. That's what you got to do. And be not entangled with the yoke of bondage, the law. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Everything he did on that cross will profit you nothing if you think your circumcision did anything. Or you're wearing your covering. Or you're walking the aisle. Or you're joining the church. Or you're keeping the commandments. Anything you think you're doing, Christ shall profit you what? No. You don't get the blood because you're trusting in what you're doing, not in what he did for you. Mm-hmm. But he says, I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law. You're trying to keep the commandments. You're trying to show how good you are to get into heaven. You are fallen from grace. You know what? You haven't got the blood. You're not trusting the blood. You're trusting your own ability to keep yourself sealed. Well, I've got some great news, boys and girls. Go to Ephesians. Just back up a page or two toward the back. One page, maybe. Toward the front. Toward the other end. Yeah. One page. Turn right. That's good. Turn right. Ephesians 1, verse 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed? You cannot get out of this if you wanted to. Why? It's like the envelope of a king. You have been waxed in and sealed with the ring of the king until the day of redemption. Which is the catching up. Why? Because you've already had the blood applied. You can't be back in it. Hallelujah, you would have been okay there.
Praise the Lord.
One praise the Lord, two hallelujahs. Thank you. Ephesians chapter 4.
I would so not want to believe that.
Yeah, I would want the hard way, please. Give me two doses of the hard way.
Just to make sure.
I want to be like Ananias. No, I don't. No. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Don't grieve it. Relax. Wherein by ye are sealed unto the day of what? Are you sealed?
Amen.
You're eternally secure.
What? Galatians? How can I grieve it?
By trying to work for it. He's trying to tell you, look, I've done it all. We sing it all the time. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white. Notice the pronoun He.
Mm-hmm.
Not I sang this song to Steve. Where is Steve tonight?
He couldn't make it.
Anyway, I sang this song, we were at breakfast one time. This is how the Mennonites sang it. This is how they should sing it. Tell me this, Edmund. Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. I confessed and washed and walked well and did my covering and acted a good way. And then he removed it. That's weird. That's not the way the Bible read. He paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. So we're now down to it. There's eternal security within Paul's epistles of Romans to Philemon. That's the only place it is in the Bible. Outside of Romans to Philemon, you have to get to the fountain and to do those things. You have to do these. Plus two other things. You have to be baptized. I didn't put that on. Required, by the way. And six, believe. They didn't believe that Christ died for their sins. They just believed that he was the Son of God. Those six things are required. I don't know a single person I know that are doing all those things. They're doing some of them. They act like they're doing others when they're not doing all of them. But Ananias only did not sell out just a little portion. She was doing all the rest. And guess what happened to Ananias and Sapphira? He and she dropped dead. You know why? If you sin willfully, there remaineth no more sacrifice for what?
Sin.
Hebrews chapter 6. It is impossible for those who were once enlightened, tasted of the heavenly gifts, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and of the good word of God, and the worlds to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again on repentance.
Was that for them in Matthew Mark?
Absolutely. The Bible, if you literally took Romans through Philemon out, right here, you took all this grace out, right here, you take all that out, then that program that you guys have believed in the Mennonite church would be on force.
Mm-hmm.
Except you wouldn't be the Jews that you're trying to be. You'd be the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a whole different gospel than this, even.
That is blessing
a
Jew.
That's just blessing a Jew.
And the Jews are lakeside, so we wouldn't have that.
You wouldn't even have that.
So I've been asked the question, like, if God required the Jews to do all these things, like, why would he not require those things out of us?
Because it's a gift.
Huh.
Come on, it's a gift.
Right, I understand that.
It's a gift. You didn't deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you understand? You never deserved any of this.
Absolutely
not. Not one bit of it. You didn't deserve it. It was God's grace. You know what you deserve? You deserve to go to hell.
Yeah.
You deserve to burn in the pits and the lowest parts and the flames of hell for all eternity. But God has made a way that you can have salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And that you would know you are saved.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's the whole good news.
Mm-hmm.
But why would not God let that out? For had they known it, they would not have
crucified the Lord.
So he kept it a secret, a mystery. And he revealed it to who?
Paul.
And Paul wrote 13 books explaining how you get to the
blood.
Paul's directing everybody for the last 2,000 years how to get to the blood. That's all he's been doing for 13 books. And for 2,000 years, Paul's been pointing the way to the blood. And you know what people are going? I don't believe that. I want to do what they did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I want to follow Jesus. Yeah, but he wrote that to the Jews. And Jesus and the Jews aren't going to get it until over here. And you can have it right now if you'll trust Christ. Yeah, but I'd rather work it.
No.
Just in case.
Relax.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to give you an illustration. Just in case there's somebody here that doesn't know the Lord, listen to me very carefully. People watching all over. We've got people in Colorado watching and everywhere. Thanks, Carlton, and I appreciate it. There's this guy that's got a grand... he goes to the Grand Canyon. And he stretches out a cable all the way across that Grand Canyon. And he gets a wheelbarrow and he tells all that the news media, everybody, that he's going to tightrope across the Grand Canyon. And so he starts to get out there. And he gets out there and he... gets out about the third of the way, and people are screaming. Go ahead, scream.
Yeah!
And he gets back and he says, well, how many believe I can do it?
Yeah.
If you really believe it, get in the wheelbarrow.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
You can believe all about Jesus Christ, but you're not saved until you get in the wheelbarrow.
Mm-hmm.
When was there a day in your life that can be found that God's going to look down and see the blood? Or is he looking down and seeing your turnips? He's either seeing your turnips or he's seeing the blood. But he's not seeing both. So I'm going to do the work under the blood. He won't see your works. So all he's seeing is the blood. So I want to behave myself. Please, I don't want any bad neighbors. I'd rather you not steal. I'd worry about the guy next door. Hey, don't come by. Don't go to the beach because there's guys with six-pack women lust. I'm like not taking my wife. She might find something better. You know? And I want you to know working on this six-pack has taken me a little bit. You know, go around. We could do the whole thing. And if you don't have that day, then guess what? You're lost. Because God, when it all comes down to it, is looking for one thing. He's looking for the blood. So is there eternal security? One last thing I want to deal with. Hey, pull that thing back out. Her last question, and this was a great question of Carrie, can you go out and sin after you trust the Lord? Doesn't everybody want to know that answer to that?
Yeah.
Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Last thing. I did preach longer than I thought I would. I should feel pretty good. I shouldn't
suffer yet.
I don't, you know, but that's good because what are you doing to me?
I'm
you get over and get your Bible. You may want to mark something.
I was saying you're doing already.
What are you doing?
How?
1 Corinthians 6. Y'all there?
Yeah.
Now, this is neat how they read the Bible. Verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived if people say, well, if you believe in once saved, always saved, you're being deceived. Why? Hey, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor... How many have heard this in that context?
Mm-hmm.
How many has heard it? Raise your hand.
Yes.
Almost everybody here. And they say, nor abusers with of mankind, themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now stop! Everybody look up. That sounds bad. It sounds like what Carrie was asking. No, they can't make it. And that's how they teach you in the church, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what they didn't do? And we're so stupid. We didn't read the next few verses. That's weird. Why did we stop there? It says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed. Y'all underline that, amen?
Amen.
You are sanctified. Ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Verse 12. Carrie, I want you to read this out loud to the class. Verse 12. Watch this. Verse 1 Corinthians 6:12. I should have waited for it. I didn't know you weren't there.
No, it's again another Bible verse I found. So.
Okay.
The things are lawful unto me, but all things are...
Are all things lawful unto you? How about if you killed somebody? Would that be lawful?
Uh-huh.
What did it say?
Uh-huh.
All things are what? Well, Jesus paid for all your sins. He cannot send you to hell for sin. Why?
He
paid. Well, that's what the next part of the verse says, but all things are not what?
Well, you can tell
expedient. It doesn't bring out the results. You know, it's very hard to witness to your grandmother after you beat the living tar out of her. You understand? It's not expedient. It doesn't bring about the results you want. But are all things lawful?
Yes.
Yes, it is. You got it? Now that's hard to swallow. What was the other verse you were thinking of?
Romans 6:1.
Uh-huh. And that was my next verse. How did you know that? Again, we need to read the whole context. Yeah. What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. For how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer? Why are you dead to sin? You've got the blood. That's why you're dead to sin. Not because you quit it. It's because of the blood. Look what he says. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, and once I was baptized into Christ, then I was baptized into his what? Then I died. You're looking at a dead man. That's why Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, on and on. You got it? It's because I'm in Christ. Alright, so how do we do this? Watch. Therefore we are buried with him in baptism into death. Likewise, as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Do you think he's worried about sin right now?
No.
Neither should you. But listen, what we're talking about in the way you wrote that in the thing was like this. Let me show you very clearly, because this is very, very, very important. There's two houses. You're in Adam. This is Christ. In Adam, how many die? They're all... Why? Anybody in this house is what?
They're dead.
Dead. They're condemned.
Yeah.
So, God made a way to get into this by the shed blood. Mm-hmm. Now you're into Christ. What religion tells you to do, now since you're in Christ, we want you to go back and fix up Adam. We want you to clean them up. Mm-hmm. We want you to make sure Adam's not smoking, drinking, playing cards. We want you to make sure you're wearing your cover and wearing your certain outfits. We want you to look a certain way. And if you don't look a certain way, I mean, there ain't even in the Mennonite church that some of those that were dressed the way they were here at that meeting on Thursday would have been condemned by another group.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Amen. You got it? Mm-hmm. That's how it works. Mm-hmm. So how do you know you're righteous enough? Are you doing everything? Is just a covering enough, or do you need clothes too? And if the clothes isn't, is it have to be a... Where's Miss Carrie when I need her? What do you call those dresses that...
Cake
dresses?
Cake, yeah.
Oh, thanks. Like, you're a big help now. Cake dresses. And the other ones that aren't wearing cake dresses, they think those floozies are going to hell. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It's all the fight over Adam. God is never going to accept Adam.
Exactly.
Once you get in Christ, you're the righteousness of God. You're holy. You're without blame. You're justified. You're redeemed. You're complete. Let's look at a couple of those things. How could what you do change what you are in Christ? Can anyone tell me that? How can you become more righteous than what God made you of His own righteousness? Mm-hmm. Go to 2 Corinthians. Now watch this. This is the whole form. And by the way, how did these people in Romans 6 die to sin? They died in Christ. Go back to Romans 6 before I leave there. 3 verses I need. 5, 6, and 7. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be in the likeness of Christ.
Yes.
That the body of sin might be destroyed. Was it?
Yes.
And that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Was it your own action that freed you from sin?
No.
Is it your good works that freed you from sin?
No.
What freed you from sin? You being dead in Christ. You got it? That's how you get it. But, that's if you believe Romans 6. Where was I going to take you?
Second Corinthians.
Oh, that's good, yeah. Let's do that one. Guys, it's not funny. 2 Corinthians 5. This is so important, guys. This is all that matters. Boy, isn't that amazing?
21.
Verse 21. For he, that is God, hath made him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, to be what?
Sin.
Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Well, let me ask you, if you have the righteousness of God, what do you lack? Do you need to go back into Adam and fix him up?
No.
No, you're walking in the robe and the righteousness of the Creator. Look in Colossians chapter 2. Verse 10. How many are still with us on the internet? Have we lost them all?
I'm not keeping track.
What?
Yes, you are. You're not telling.
It knocks down my frame rate, so I can't do it.
Oh. Need a bigger computer, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Get out
today.
There
you go.
Now look at it. Verse 10. Colossians 2, verse 10. And ye are complete in him. Well, if you're complete, what are you trying to get completer? I'm going to do some good works so I can be more completer. Yeah, but he says you're already complete in him. Sue, is that good news?
Amen.
That's pretty good. I want to be complete in him. Isn't that cool? Carrie, you got to say that's cool. I'm complete. There isn't anything over in Adam that's going to make me more better.
Nope. No.
I'm the righteousness of God and I'm complete. But hold on. Back and go to Ephesians. Notice how I'm giving you directions toward the back, to the lefty, to the other lefty.
Right lefty.
That lefty. Ephesians, just a page or two. Ephesians chapter 1. Everybody has two lefts and two rights. Trust me, when you get in the military, it's so funny to watch these guys train. Turn left! And have them go that way and half the other way. And he says, we've got a lot of work to do on this. I grew up as a military kid. It was so funny. I mean, I'm like, oh boy, these guys are going to be flying jets. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. How many blessings have you got?
All.
Are you going to get any more?
No.
You go over there and fix up Adam and you just do everything perfect. You going to get any more?
No.
No, we gave it as part of the gift. Look at verse 4. According as he has chosen us in him. Hey, gift number 3, pretty big. Amen?
Amen.
When? Before the foundation of the world. Why? He knew you would have the blood. Watch this. That we should be holy. Guess what I am?
Holy.
I'm holy. And everybody, underline this. Without blame. But I know who I am. I know I'm with blame. But God sees me with what? Without blame. You know why? He sees the blood of the Lord. Isn't that incredible?
I am holy and without blame.
Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Are you accepted?
No.
In the what?
In
the Beloved. You're not accepted in Adam over here. You're never going to impress God with what you're doing over there. in whom we have. Man, if you don't have that date, you're lost. And here's the thing. The rapture could happen any time. It could happen in just a few seconds. It could happen on your way home and you wouldn't even know until next Sunday. You try to get on the internet and I'm not there. Or one of the lost people there put on a tape of me. And you think I'm there. So you show up Monday. And you come and there ain't anybody here. There it is. And you're like Cain. You worked hard. You did everything you thought you could do for Christ. But it wasn't the blood. And you missed the whole simple message of it all. I think it says in 1 John 5, it's real simple. He that hath the Son hath life. It's the blood. So why are you holding out? What are you hanging on to so desperate in your life that you think you've got that is so incredible that God just can't do without this action of yours? Why don't you let go and trust the Lord? I trusted Him on the 24th of August 1983 and I've been saved ever since. I know where I was and what I was doing. I got saved in a bathroom. I thought God, honestly, I thought God was going to put my good on one side and bad on the other and weigh it out in my time. Brother E.C. Moore started showing me the blood and the finished work and the mystery of the gospel of Christ. And that is that Christ died for our sins. And that was kept a secret because had they known it, they would have never crucified Him. And all that I told you would not have been available to you. And so He kept it a secret. So that you could have the gift of God, eternal life. You know what people say, you have peace. The moment I got saved, I had peace. But you know what? If you think it's something about you doing it, you will never have peace in your mind. You'll start thinking, have I done enough? Have I done everything right? Am I wearing the right things? Am I doing the right things? You're always in doubt. And you know what Romans 8 verse 1 says? There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. You won't even ever feel condemnation. You know why? Amen. Even if you got the blood. Amen. I do believe in eternal security. I believe it one wholeheartedly. I don't believe, Carrie, that you could do anything, listen to me very carefully, ever to lose your salvation. If what Christ didn't do was enough, you were going to go to hell anyway, honey. You were going to bust hell wide open just like all of us. Amen? Mm-hmm. All of us. If He didn't do enough for you at that cross, ain't nothing you're going to do that's going to be so impressive. Mm-hmm. You want to impress God, why don't you take up wings and fly out of here? Then you're impossible. You can't do what that man did for you. And it's already been done. And there isn't a person that needs to walk out of here lost.
Amen.
There doesn't need to be a person that walks out of this room confused or wondering about the atonement. Hey, Israel was being set up to get to that fountain. Mm-hmm. They got to the fountain, guess what? Safe. I got good news. The fountain's flowing right now today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done.